जय माँ। दिस इज लिटिल अनयूजुअल पोजिशन टू सिट एंड स्पीक बिकॉज जनरली वी आर यूज टू सिटिंग टूगेदर, बट इट्स ओके। इट हैज वन एडवांटेज दैट वन कैन सी इफ समवन इज स्लीपिंग। It's a very interesting subject that Madan Gopalji chose. Is English okay or Hindi? What will be preferred language? Is everybody is fine with English or Hindi? Mein jo bhi dono hi theek hai mere liye, mix karke. So basically, the subject is Swaraj to Savitri. It's just a baseline. And what it means is to see the journey of Sri Aurobindo and his teachings and the yoga and how we can connect to that. So in India, we always have these two approaches to spiritual life. One is through books, teachings, practice of yoga. Books itself are of two kinds. One is books which lay down the metaphysical foundations. It is important, they are also important because they give us a kind of background and they give us a topography, something about the journey. And the human mind likes to have some kind of orientation. It's a different thing altogether than when we actually start swimming into the sea. It often is totally disorienting. It's one thing to read all about the sea and all about the Himalayas, quite another to walk or swim in its currents, because that's how it is. Human mind is extremely limited, and the consciousness towards which one is led through the spiritual seeking is too vast for the mental comprehension. The point here is that while it's good to read the principles and metaphysics of the yoga, it's not very good to keep on all the time be lost in it. Lost in it because any amount of debate and discussion cannot tell us even a little about what the supermind is, or what spirituality is, what even God is, what the soul is, until we have some glimpse, some touch or some experience. And yet for the mind, this helps a little bit to start the journey. Just to know where one is going, what is the broad outline of the path. The second kind of books are those which tell us about the practice of the yoga. And yes, they are of course indispensable, because no amount of reading about God will not lead us to God. We have to practice. And for the first time we have in the entire history of spiritual evolution of mankind, such a detailed gift to mankind about metaphysics, about the practice, and from every aspect, every angle, because Sri Aurobindo's yoga, as we see outside in the board, all life is yoga. So nothing has been left from the ambit of yoga. It is really a gift. And why I emphasize is that because most of the time I see these gifts adorn the shelves and we hardly read them. It's a pity actually, because first time, even if we combine all the possible spiritual works available till today, and I'm saying this with responsibility, having gone through many of these works, most of these, we don't have such a comprehensive, detailed, not only understanding about the practice of the path as we find in Sri Aurobindo and the mother. And that's why sometimes I feel very bit odd when people ask, but what is the practice? Perhaps it's too vast, too many things are there, and it leaves us free to explore. The goal, as we know in Sri Aurobindo's yoga, is the most difficult that human mind has ever conceived, yet that which it has always wanted. So what is the goal? Terrestrial perfection. This yoga is not done for oneself alone, as Aurobindo declared in one of the objects. Its goal is not individual moksha, though it comes through it. One cannot go beyond nirvana or moksha until one has gone through this passage. Though the journey continues, there is a difference between the journey for moksha and then we take on to Aurobindo's yoga, vis-a-vis the journey which aims towards the transformation of earthly life and passes moksha as one of the stations towards this higher manifestation. So basically what Aurobindo says is that this world is not Maya the way we understand, not going into the nitty-gritties of what Maya is. It's not an illusion as we understand, but it is a distortion of the divine will. It's a manifestation of the divine will, and this manifestation in its frontal appearance has become distorted. Much as a child is given a nice painting, a nice scenery or image to paint. So what does the child do? He has seen the image and he tries to paint. And if you ask him, what have you painted? The child will say, well, this scenery in front of me, this tree or this forest. But we know it is not exactly that and it could be much better. So in the same way, this whole creation is writing the autobiography of God. That's all. But it doesn't know, nature doesn't know how to write. It is trying, she's trying. She's a good girl. She's trying, but she's a limited girl. She has good intentions, but she has limited means at her disposal. The main means at her disposal is matter. Matters ki se kalam banai hai. Saat samandh to masi karo, lekhani sab ban rai. Dharti to kagad karo, hari gun likhana jai. So it's trying. So because its brush is limited, which is matter, therefore, and because life, the ink, is limited, because the thoughts, the mind is limited, though she is well-intentioned, she ends up creating something which is not exactly what it is meant to write. And we can take a simple example. If we ask anybody in the human race, what do you want, peace or agitation, love or hate, joy or suffering, knowledge or ignorance and error, I think answer will be the same. Anywhere, it doesn't matter. One may have studied, one may have achieved something, the answers will be same. Yet, it's a strange thing that people fight and people are quick to lose their peace and happiness. Why is it so? If you ask, they'll have the same answer. That I hate this person because I love the person very too much and he doesn't fit into my idea of what the person would be. Ultimately, it's the same thing. So the expression upon earth of the divine will is distorted. This is very clear. Why it is distorted is a whole story, we need not go into it, but this is fact, plain speak, that it is distorted. So the idea that sab kuch jo hota hai Bhagwan ki marji se hota hai, everything that happens is because of divine will, jars with our human sensibilities. Because that means evil, wickedness, everything is divine will. Divine wanted that, you know, there should be a lot of evil. He wanted the most unspeakable things which even human consciousness would not want to take place upon earth. So there are many ideas that we are carrying in our mind, and when we come to Sri Aurobindo, we confront their inadequacy. We can believe them if we like. Like the other day in Madhuban, someone had such a strong impression of divine justice without really being clear about what divine justice is. We often paint God as nothing else, jobless person except a judge who has noted in detail all our doings and not doings and everything, and is busy punishing and rewarding. Poor God has no better work, and he must be horrified at what we have made of him. being of compassion, wisdom, love. He is meant to be grace. And yet he is sitting like a judge. Why? Because it fills in the gap in our understanding that why there is problem in life, earthly life. So we pass it on to man. God made this world wonderful, but man has, you know, messed it up. And if that be so, then what is needed? If God made man, God made the world, and man has messed it up, though question arises, who made man? But that apart. So what is required then? Man must change, as simple as that. If we take even nature is trying to write the story of God, then man is the creature through whom it intends to write the most perfect, beautiful, and the correct story, authentic story. But how will man fulfill this purpose if he doesn't know God? If he doesn't know what the will is? If he has no clue about the divine dispensation? If he is carrying in the head all the old stock ideas? So man must first know God. Know God not through books, but through direct first-hand experience. And there is no limit to that experience, because God is infinite, and we often approach him through our finite windows. One little window on one side, we see there is a little story about the mother that different sects, different groups are showing her from a window, a glimpse of the sky, and they say, this is the path. And mother sees and says, okay. She wants the full sky, like the Gita says, Samagra Mam. They are opening their doors and windows and little patch of sky. That's how framework of sects operates. Then she sees a man sitting under the open sky in purple robes, and he's eating something. And he asks the mother, would you not like to try this dish? Okay, let me see what you have prepared. And she tastes the dish and she says, this is wonderful. What is your path? And he says, I have no path. Meditate upon this story. All paths are his path. Path is the aspiration, not the outer technique. One may sit in meditation for years and years and decades, and yet one may come out as Ravana and Hiranyakashyap. It is this inner intensity, sincerity of seeking that opens the path. And this is important, because practice, as she says, a drop of practice is much better than an ocean of theories, resolutions and good advices. Even a little practice. Svalpamasya dharmasya. So this is one way to approach through the books and by the books to read, to reflect, to meditate upon the truths they contain, and then to practice. Because without practice, books of teaching have no value. Actually, we don't profit. It's like knowing that there is a diamond we cannot buy, we cannot even glimpse. So books have to be read if we are willing to practice, or at least even if we are not willing and we have started reading, understanding, then for the true understanding, it's only by practice it can come. It's as we practice, so we begin to understand, oh, this is how it is. Because then we know the real thing about the path. How much ever one may say, often, you know, yahan se ashram jane mein 20-25 minute, aadha ghanta, jo bhi hai. Keep always pace for the things which are unpredictable. Spiritual journey is like that. It's not a, it also has its own traffic, it also has its own casualties, it also has its own danger, and it has its own delight and charm. And that makes it so wonderful. Some people are scared of the unpredictability of life. Most people are scared. They want to make life absolutely, how I plan, it should be like that. Plan to the detail of the size of the samosa and the amount of sugar in your tea. Doesn't work out like that. You may put as much sugar as you want in your rasgulla, and if you have corona, you can't taste a bit about it. You may plan, a smooth life journey. Do all the good things according to the rule book. But life has its own surprises up her sleeve. She plays. Nature plays. We get too serious. That's our problem. We are too serious in everything, including our approach to God. We want to do always the right thing. Tick mark. But we don't know what is the right thing, because right thing is to be aligned to the will of God. Not my will, my understanding, my. But ma. That's how it is. It's very simple. Just change one letter and one has it. Instead of MY, write MA and we have it. That's it. But it's so difficult to change from Y to A, because there are so many letters in between that come. It sounds very simple, but it becomes difficult because our human conceptions, conditionings, all the books that we have read are stored somewhere in the library like cobwebs. It's so difficult. All the ideas, newspapers, WhatsApp, people, whatnot. So simply to be like a clean slate, okay, Lord, you write. This is what my understanding is. It's so limited, but you write. Yet that is the way. And he clears the slate, he writes his will, he does everything. But we have to hand over. But very often we say, according to me, according to me, according to me, by the time God goes to sleep, probably. Okay, do according to what you think. He loves in freedom. So we go back, then again we come back, we say, but it didn't work out. But I didn't tell you to do all these things. I asked you to do something else. You didn't even wait to listen. This is the problem. Anyway, so that's one side of the story. But the second way, which is also there, and they don't mutually exclude each other, they go together, is to dwell upon the life of someone who has gone this way. Not the outer life alone, but the deep aspiration and how they have lived, how they have gone. That's why we have in India the Mahabharata, the Ramayana, the Bhagavat. Simply reading about their life reveals so much about how we should be. So people may say that, but you know, reading about the life is okay. It gives us, we feel inspired. But still, what should we do? Now you see, when we read the life, what we should do becomes is taken to the side, because through the life, we are coming in contact with the mother and Sri Aurobindo. It's something amazing. It itself brings up us in contact with the mother and Sri Aurobindo. Simply because we are dwelling, the consciousness is dwelling upon them. Doesn't matter, however imperfectly. Because ultimately yoga is the dwelling of the consciousness upon the divine or whatever we want to. And it becomes so easy, so concrete. By simply dwelling upon the divine, our consciousness begins to grow into the image of the divine. Something so simple and beautiful. And fortunately for us, Sri Aurobindo has himself given us the best possible way to read the life of Mother and Sri Aurobindo. Of course, there is the mother, there is Sri Aurobindo and himself. There are some wonderful lives also, like Rishabh Chand's book, Sri Aurobindo, His Life Unique. I do not know whether we have it here or not. On the Mother by Von Brekheim, by Srinivas Iyengar. But most of all, Savitri. It's their life. So by merely reading Savitri, we enter into the consciousness of Sri Aurobindo and the Mother. We come in contact with Sri Aurobindo and the Mother. And that's what matters at the end of the day. The contact of the human consciousness with the divine is the starting point. By whatever way it happens, by looking at the photograph, listening to the music, somebody says something and something clicks inside, opens inside, by reading their books, by reading about them, Savitri, prayers and meditations, whatever means, this contact carries in itself the whole result of the yoga. How it will come, the divine knows. I'm sure here each one of us have our own unique story. How we first came into contact. We think that we did something and it happens. No, this was his way. And it's something so beautiful because to each one the divine reveals in his own way. He plays. But we get too serious. We start comparing notes. No, this is not a race. This is not a corporate sector where, you know, who will reach the top, who will reach first. It's unique journey and it's so beautiful. Amazing. And that's how it should be. It's not a race. It's not a competition. Spiritual life is not a field of intellectual dissertation or competition. Shobindo's letter. So what is it? It's an unfolding. It means if we keep eyeing, oh, I have to realize this. Oh, when will I have the realization? Oh, when will I have the experience? Then we'll probably never have the experience because we have a mental idea about a certain experience and the experience will pass by our side and we won't notice it because we have our own idea of what this experience is about. Someone complained to the mother, "Mother, I don't have visions. So many, I see people having visions. I don't see visions." So the mother says, "Oh, you want to go back to that stage?" He's surprised. What does it mean, go back to that stage? He says, "You are growing one in consciousness with me and you want visions? Vision is still a distance, separation." It's a very nice this thing. Someone says, "Do I come in your dreams?" Well, to come in dreams means there is a separation, distance. I see from afar. In a dream world. But when people grow one, it's almost like saying, "Did I see myself in my dream today?" It sounds so absurd. So it is about growing closeness with the divine. And let him do with us what he will. It's not like reaching, achieving. It's not a target. So unfolding means it's a joyous journey in which different ways. When we look at one way, the moment the spark, the contact takes place, the unfolding starts. There is a very beautiful line in Savitri, "Each day was a spiritual romance." And every day something or the other happens which brings us the joy of new discovery. Some people keep sending me those photographs from the railway station. Are they were so surprised. Ah, this saying of Shurabindo we found on, you know, this, I think Delhi they have most of the little stations in Delhi. Isn't it? So many ways. I mean, if one were to keep that count, one would be lost. So many people, so many experiences in so many ways. What is it? It's already the journey of yoga has begun. Every pang, every pain that releases us into seeking for the divine, every pang for the divine, every seeking, every aspiration, every act of surrender, all this is yoga. When we read Shobindo's life, we understand what it means. The word is Swaraj. Shobindo meant by Swaraj two things, and it's so interesting. He said, the first Swaraj we must win is mastery over ourselves. Otherwise, we may have freedom, Swaraj, but we'll mess it up, bungle it up. The second, political Swaraj is needed because without political Swaraj, one cannot really express oneself. The third Swaraj is expressing our true self. All this is contained in that meaning, Swaraj. To discover the self, to master nature by one's own self, by the true self, and to express the true self in life, in creation, everywhere, that's Swaraj. And that's why Shobindo spoke of the need for freedom of India and its uprising. It was not just a patriotic sentiment. Patriotic sentiments are important in yoga. Can be part of yoga. They are mother's sentiment, mother's writings. That patriotic sentiments are not inconsistent with yoga. They are part of the journey. All sattvic people have this patriotic sentiment. Rajasic people can also have it, but they are more nationalists, which is fine. Nothing wrong. That also India requires. That Shobindo has said. that we need nationalism as well as patriotism. They are slightly different. Patriotism is stems more from the depths of the soul. It's a very sattvic quality to die for the sake of the country, to love the country. It's beautiful. But nationalism stems from rajas, pride of being who we are. And he says India needs both. Because if you don't have rajas and rajogun, then you will be run over. So you need both nationalism as well as patriotism. So from that time we see how Sri Aurobindo has been laboring. He says India is rising not for itself alone. India has never risen only for itself. India has risen for the good of the world. And we must understand the great responsibility that every Indian carries on his shoulder. Often, we all, of course, have visited outside India. So who are we? We are brand ambassadors of India. People who meet us should say, oh, where are you from? Oh, you're an Indian? Oh, wow. That should be an Indian going abroad. Not doing the same thing that everybody is doing. And what's the big deal? So that means we are not proud of who we are. We have nothing to give to the world. So I know some child very beautifully, recently I heard a nice little anecdote where someone asked the child that you are using tomato ketchup in pasta. I don't know the details of all this. I don't have understanding of all this. Ketchup and kya dalte. And the person was a little laughing that, you know, that's not how it is eaten. So he gave a 10-year-old, he gave a very interesting reply. He said, yes, but in India we eat like this. Yeah, so what? And then he added, ये हम हाथ से खाते हैं क्योंकि हमारा हाथ है हम जानते हैं कि ये साफ है अगर हमने अच्छे से धोया है आपके छुरी चम्मच काम पर हमको भरोसा नहीं है. He said in little more child like words that, you know, spoon and fork, we don't know, somebody is clean and you have kept here for how long, but three hands I washed just now and I know, plus my fingers will also taste the food and I'll relish it to the. Now you see, this is this is how, what's wrong with it? But we have been for a long time subjugated. When Sri Aurobindo came on the scene of the Indian nationalist freedom, you see, there was a whole line of thinking. Even people wanted the freedom or independence, but still they thought independence means now we can copy paste and replicate the British way of life, because nothing succeeds like success. So these are the guys who have been successful, and therefore they are the people whom we must follow. There was a whole line of thinkers. I don't want to name them because it may hurt some sentiments. That's how people thought. So when Sri Aurobindo comes, it's very interesting that he is sent there to England. Very natural way we are entering into his life. He is sent there to England at the age of 7 by his father, who thought that, well, we have nothing good to give to our children, but there is this British Empire and he must go to London and Manchester and study there and learn the best of things, because that's a culture. And what does Sri Aurobindo discover? He discovers the hollowness behind the glitter and the glamour. He writes there his letters, which are not, I mean, they are letters to, he says, his alter ego. One of them is to Barin, his brother. He says, whatever you may say, you cannot convince me that the West is superior. And there are so many places. He has made predictions that, you know, I am waiting for Europe to perfect its organization. Then a child will destroy it. So many, almost prophetically he has spoken of. When Asiatics massacre, it's bad, it's not good. When Europeans do it, it's exigency. Mark the difference and the duplicity. Now it has all become Jagvidit. But Sri Aurobindo could see it then, even as a child, the hollowness behind the glitter and glamour. There is even mothers, one of her prayers in Paris. People go from here. Somebody was once telling me, oh, we went to Paris. I said, even now it holds the same charm? I thought only that last, that an evening in Paris, that song created flutter that we must go to Paris. Still people are interested in going to Paris. Oh, it's so beautiful and gorgeous. I said, have you read Mother's Prayer about what she describes about Paris as a city? See, this is the difference of perception. She says that when she looks at the world plunged in darkness, she says, what an effort is required to lift mankind out of this state. And then she says, and how much more of power and grace is required to lift men from the life of the cities. And she's writing in Paris. Now, of course, that Paris is everywhere. Life of the cities, centered all around desire and pleasure and comfort and everything that, you know, they can provide. So she writes in that prayer, Shubindu at 10 understands what it is, who he must be. There is a beautiful prayer, poem that he writes at the age of 10. Anyone has read this poem? At the age of 10, Shubindu writes, okay? He has titled the poem as Light. I'll just read a couple of passages. From the quickened womb of the primal gloom, night, dark night, primal gloom. But what is he, what does he see in the primal gloom? The pangs of a new creation. Quickened wombs, if they are ready to be born. Quickened womb of the primal gloom, the sun rolled, black and bare. Till I see the word I comes so majestically. Till I wove him a vest for his ethereal breast of the threads of my golden hair. They have become the light, new vest for the sun, new creation coming from the truth. Is a 10-year-old writing this? And when the broad tent of the firmament arose on its airy spars, see how space is expanding, firmament, I penciled the hue of its matchless blue and spangled it around with stars. And it closes, it's a very long poem, so I'm just reading the first one and the last one. Oh, I waken the flowers in the dew-spangled bowers, the birds in their chambers of green, and mountain and plain glow with beauty again, as they bask in their matinal sheen. Oh, if such the glad worth of my presence on earth, though fitful and fleeting the while, what glories must rest on the home of the blessed, ever bright with the deity smile. So Sri Aurobindo and the mother give us just a glimpse of what the divine glory would be. Even flesh and body. What the divine glory must be. Just imagine that there is a child whom his father has sent to get all the British manners and British culture and custom, because they are the victors. They are so nice in their demeanor. They will open the door and do all this for a lady to step out and hold the hand gently. Wow. And Sri Aurobindo is seeing through it all. That's why he writes during the... See, he is like that... There is a legendary character called Kach who goes into the camps of the Daitya, Sukracharya. He is son of Brihaspati, Kach, and learns all about Sanjeevani Vidya. So Sri Aurobindo is like that, who goes into the empire which one day his pen will fell. And he notes, he says they are very good at hypocrisy. Which that time it must have been an amazing disclosure, but today it's becoming more and more evident that the West wants to look right and look good. That's what we have learned, mastered the art of looking good. So he'll put things like as if they're doing something very nice. And he used it to the utmost because he learned they want to look good. So this is how he grew up. And we know that his father had dwindling resources. That story is so touching. that he would be sent hardly any money, because they were four brothers studying there, and slowly everything dwindled. And how he would live with one penny in a day, through which he could just buy one meal, a penny, a saveloy, and it's like a hamburger. Even this, I mean, I know the British would be very angry if I say hamburger, but well, that's how my close understanding. I've never had a saveloy. And a cup of tea. No proper winter cloth. That's okay. But the beauty is, never for once Sri Aurobindo utters anything ill about his father. What kind of heart must be there? He never utters anything. There's always a word of praise whenever he talks about them. Not that, you know, he did this, he didn't provide me, see how he sent me there. None of those complaint, grumbling, grudging, revolt. None of those things. Such an example. I feel Sri Aurobindo's life, even one little bit, if we can put into practice, equanimity, mastery, self-mastery begins like that. That I can have two possible reactions in any situation. I can grumble, complain, grudge, revolt, pick up a gun and say, revolution flows from the barrel of a gun, extreme. Or I can practice nati, acceptance of the will of God, and try to change things. Change, yes. But change in revolt and anger, and change through a deep understanding of the flawed creation that we live in, are two very different things. So Sri Aurobindo's idea of change of earthly life is not the change of the titan. I will, like activism, and I'll implement a new government policy, and I'll, you know, forcefully flatten everything. The communist ideal of equality. No, that's not. First get knowledge, true knowledge, true understanding. Where the change has to be affected not in policies, but in human nature. If human nature doesn't change, you provide the best possible everything, but it'll mess it up. So then itself, you know, see, he is not, because complaining, grudging, there's a very beautiful little story that, anecdote of his life, that Sri Aurobindo would often sit quietly. He would not be much into these debates, discussions. He would be busy reading. But people used to feel some kind of awe for him. So there is this boy, Sudhir Kumar Sarkar, who became a legendary freedom fighter, went to Andamans, then came back, joined the ashram. So he used to play pranks, and one day he played a really bad prank. Somebody got very scared because he shot some air gun, and he heard some elderly in the house, he heard and fell down, and he was hurt. It could have been very serious. And obviously it was a gun fired, and Sri Aurobindo was also sitting. So this fellow ran away. That how will I show my face to Sri Aurobindo? What will he say? Then in the evening, when he has not come, Sri Aurobindo says, where is he? Call him. So they go and they call him. Sri Aurobindo doesn't ask anything, doesn't discuss anything. They are having meal as usual, and he is, you know, wondering. He will now say something, nothing. It's like it's unimportant. So then he ended up asking him, you want to say something to me? Silence is, not only silence, he was normal. So he said, no, human nature is full of weaknesses. By stressing the weaknesses, you strengthen them. What a word of wisdom. Human nature is full of weaknesses. By stressing the weaknesses, you strengthen them. Period. That's it. And he describes very interesting stories once. Equanimity, we talk about practice of equanimity. That once he used to write many notes on Mahabharata, Sri Aurobindo has written. And one day this boy who used to live, he was his nephew and used to live there. And one day he had fever and he vomited, and all the notes that he had written, vomiters fell on those notes, and obviously they got spoiled. And Shubhendu got up, looked after him, like fever and all, and then he is feeling bad that I vomited. He said, no, don't worry, just kept them aside, cleansed them. They are gone, but not a word. This is Nishkam Karma. People want to understand what is Nishkam Karma? This is Nishkam Karma. And he takes it to what level? At one point he says, even if I knew that the world would perish and smash, I would look beyond the smash to the new creation. This is Nishkam Karma, entire yoga. This is Nishkam Karma, that he is not doing the yoga for himself. And that's what he is wanting us to be. He is not wanting us to be another selfish yogi, add to the list of Yogi Maharaj, Nirvana Prapti Karli Unhone, Nirvananda Swami. There used to be one Swamiji who had kept his name as Nirvan, and then when he read Sri Aurobindo, he changed his name to Anirvan. Well known, he was a great man, very good devotee. See what he writes in one of the Gods, this is from Yoga and Its Objects. Beautiful book, small little book. It's part of collected works of Sri Aurobindo, volume 13. And one of the very powerful books. Of course, Sri Aurobindo said this does not contain the whole of my thoughts in the yoga, which later developed also because mother's coming made a big difference. But at the same time, he says, this was one of the books that used to be given earlier. Some books which were written earlier and they would go, be given to people when they wanted to know about yoga. So, he writes, the yoga we practice is not for ourselves alone, but for the divine. Its aim is to work out the will of the divine in the world. That's what is going to change this world. Not by our mental schemes, our ideas. Long back, I shared this experience during Sri Aurobindo's 125th anniversary, birth anniversary. Even now, we had so many schemes, this, that. And there was a discussion and in that panel, people were, okay, we'll do this dream plan, this dream project. And then it ended by someone saying, the chairman saying, we want to build India of our dreams. I said, sir, please, not our dreams. Our dreams are but made of real stuff. But of Sri Aurobindo's dreams. What are our dreams? So, he says, what is the aim of the yoga? To work out the will of the divine in the world, to effect a spiritual transformation, and to bring down a divine nature and a divine life into the mental, vital and physical nature and life of humanity. Whether it makes a change in us or not is really unimportant, though it is inevitable. But it's not done with any personal aim, but only for the sake of the divine, for the joy of the divine. It is not personal. Okay. Although its object is not personal mukti, although mukti is a necessary condition of the yoga. If we are ourselves bound in ignorance, how can we know even the divine will? Divine will is not written like a rule book. Once somebody asked him, give us some kind of rule book. So he says, rule book for life? Question mark. There is no such rule book. Because divine doesn't put himself into a standardized format. A mistake that all religions have done. And thankfully, divine has not hopefully read these religious books. Otherwise, he would have said, Mere naam par kya likh diya inhone? Mere naam par maar rahe hain, koot rahe hain, sab kar rahe hain mere naam par. So this is where the divine will manifest in that virgin moment. So difficult to recapture because all our life is conditioned by past and worries of the future. Just to create that moment when we are like a blank slate wanting the divine to manifest. Whatever it be, not my plan, my ideas, but your plan, your ideas. It requires a tremendous surrender and equanimity, because we are always busy with my plan. And we don't know what our, you know, where our plans have led us. So often people, I share this, that okay, I'll not share the story because somebody will say ki Pandeji shadi ke against hain. So no. But when children, parents come, my child is not wanting to get married, please counsel. So I first counsel them. I ask them, you are married, obviously. You are very happy? Nee, nee, wo to hota hai. I said, why you want to put your child through the cauldron? Sab karte hain. The question is, we must do what everybody is doing. Everybody is doing cheating, everybody is doing forgery, everybody is leading a life of eat, drink and be merry, everybody is partying. Partying, P-R-T-Y-I-N-G. So we should also do that. This is strange logic, which doesn't. So if human beings are in this, yet in the social stage of evolution, they are not ready for the spiritual life, mother's writing. We have to at least be an individual. Individual means make your own choices. Doesn't matter, right or wrong. Apni nazar, ye to hona chahiye pehle, to start with. Then we are ready. Then surrender makes sense. Otherwise it makes no sense, because we have nothing to say that this is me and myself. So he says, it is not personal mukti, though mukti is a necessary condition of the yoga, but the liberation and transformation of the human being. It is not personal ananda, but the bringing down of the divine ananda upon the earth. Of moksha, we have no personal need. For the soul is nitya mukta and bondage is an illusion. This is right. Ashtavakra Gita starts like that. Not start like that, but somewhere in the middle it says. It says, if you think you are bound, you are bound. If you think you are free, you are free. None is bound, none is free, none seeking to be free. Baat kar lo. Pura collapse ho gaya. Soul is plunged into it with a purpose. So there is a purpose to be fulfilled that we must focus upon. You can take it like a bondage. You can take it like a work I am here to do. That's it. And if we take it like a work we are here to do, then it changes the perspective. But normally we take it that we are, somebody has put us into this dark hole, some Kaal or some God knows what, some horrible person who is more powerful than God, snatched all the souls and put us in the dungeon, and then he has promised God. I have heard such stories and I have just wondered. Ingenuity of human nature. He says, but he promised to God that few souls I will release time to time if you come. And God agreed. So strange. He should have bargained. Release all my beings. How dare you? That's omnipotence. He agreed that, okay, put them in the soup. I'll come time to time, I'll release a few. And I wondered that how can even a little sensitive human being believe in this kind of a, I mean, such a God, to tell you very frankly. And I met such people and I asked that, really such a God you would feel love for? Nay, nay, but we have to get out of it. That's the end of the story. Love, etc. is later. Abhi phas gaye, nikalna hai. Ye workable hypothesis hai. So strange. So, Shobindo is clearing all this. This is 1913, one of his first, before all this came out. See, in this one passage, this is the first passage. We can be free when God wills. For he, our supreme self, is the master of the game. And without his grace and permission, no soul can leave the game. It is often God's will in us to take through the mind the bhoga of ignorance, of the dualities, of joy and grief, of pleasure and pain, of virtue and sin, of enjoyment and renunciation. For long ages, in many countries, he never even thinks of the yoga, but plays out this play contrary, century after century without wearing of it. That's what we see. That's why some people say India is, when other countries are like bhogyoni, India is yogyoni. यहाँ तो सड़कें ही आपको योगा करा देंगे, सारे आसन हो जाएंगे अगर कोई थोड़ी सी उनके नाम है उछल कूद आसन, गर्दन टेढ़ी आसन, स्थित प्रज्ञा आसन, उलट पुलट आसन, सब हो जाएगा. और इन सब के बीच में समत्व योग उच्चते. आपको कर्ज नहीं करना है ट्रैफिक हो या पॉट हो उसको, या गर्मी को धूप हो. हम तो जन्म से ही भाई योग सीखते हैं. भोग करना है तो ठीक है. आ सच लवली रोड इन द यूएस. सो आई लव टू टेक ए लिटिल डिग. सो आई सेड यस आउटर. सो नहीं समझ आता. आई सेड वी हैव लवली इनर रोड्स इन इंडिया, सो मेनी ऑफ देम ओपन इन टू द वास्टनेस ऑफ द इन्फिनिट. नहीं नहीं होता वहां, मन नहीं लगता है योग में. आप कितना बाहर इतनी शांति होती है, लेकिन आपको ये देखो दोनों से रिला रहे हैं अमेरिका वाले. बट सो ट्रू दैट यू नो इवन टू प्रे बिकम्स लाइक अ चैलेंज. या तो प्रार्थना ही उठती रहती है. कोई ना कुछ होता रहता है. नहीं भी हो तो भी स्पॉन्टेनियसली देर इज प्रेयर in the heart. It's so interesting that you have all the time and comfort and luxury, but somehow it's so difficult to aspire. Now, I'm really saying, I'll be happy to be proved the contrary. I mean, I'm not showing exceptions, but I'm saying the generality of mankind. I'm not picking up exceptions. It's so difficult because the collective atmosphere is all centered around luxury, comfort and pleasure. It's not because people are bad. It's about life is centered around it. So he says there are some centuries where this bhoga continues. Now the time has come for them for yoga. So in the middle of yoga, they are getting roga. Bhog to rog to yog. Because now God intends to wake up. That look here, you also can't be deprived of that. So bhog se yog shuru, rog shuru ho gaya. रोग के बाद वो ढूंढ रहे हैं कोई आ जाए स्वामी जी हमको उल्टा सीधा सिर पांव करना सिखा दे, ठीक कर दे. एंड देन थ्रू दैट बैकडोर एंट्री दे सडनली डिस्कवर ओह योग मींस नॉट जस्ट दिस एक्सरसाइज. इंडिया में हमको ये वर्ड नहीं यू लूजली यूज करना चाहिए. आई फील लिटिल यू नो आसन इज आसन, आसन इज नॉट योगा. योगा करना योगा होगा सुबह में. तो कौन सा शीर्षासन योगा? शीर्षासन योगा मीन्स बी रेडी फॉर कंप्लीटली योर होल आइडियाज टर्निंग अपसाइड डाउन. दैट्स व्हाट गॉड डज. सवासन योगा इजिएस्ट एंड मोस्ट डिफिकल्ट. लेट गॉड डू एवरीथिंग. भुजंगासन लर्न टू स्ट्राइव लुक अपवर्ड इवन व्हेन यू आर लाइंग फ्लैट ऑन द फ्लोर. सारे आसन है. वृक्षासन strive, aspire, climb, reach out. Padhastasan, learn to be humble. I mean, my all these, so this is, yoga is not asana. Even we don't practice hatha yoga in India. Shobindu describes that it was a yoga which was given to Lemurian kings. And nobody practices it. It requires hours and hours to do bandhas and mudras. It's not just doing the asanas, and often, you know, this is okay, nothing wrong. Asanas are helpful for bringing health. But this should not be equated as yoga. Like breathing exercises help us. But to say that this is pranayam sounds very good. Now we like to. We have this penchant for nice degrees, huh? FRCP. वो उसमें FRC के जगह आ गया FRSP. आपको पता भी नहीं है कि ऐसी कोई डिग्री नहीं होती. वहाँ पे लग गया सारा ठप्पा लग गया. इसी में लोग बड़े खुश होते हैं. तो जी योगा करने जाते हैं, आधा घंटा हम योगा करते हैं, उसके बाद प्राणायाम करते हैं, फिर मेडिटेशन करते हैं. उसमें भी क्या होता है, नीड नॉट से. फिर हम चाय नाश्ता करते हैं, तब देखो क्या सुकून मिलता है. So you must understand, yoga is not these practices. Yoga is a flame that burns in the heart, scorches, it hurts, it climbs to the heights. And if that flame is burning, we may be anywhere in any posture, any position, that is yoga. Even if it is burning, when outwardly there is nothing around, Mother goes on to say, if you have the aspiration and the seeking, even the extravagances of an American youth are a path. Kahin bhi baithe hain. See, it's so simple. Andar mein ye, ma, and not just for myself, ma mukti de do. Wo to mukti to mil jayegi. Is srishti ka kalyan ho, sansar ka kalyan ho. Tumhara sankalp siddh ho. Is srishti divya bane. To hum to included hai na bhai, srishti ke bhaag hai. Ye hum logon ka job description hai. So, इमेजिन कोई पूछे कि आप क्या काम करते हैं, इसलिए बायोडाटा में बड़ी समस्या होती है. ये क्या काम करते हैं भाई, हमारा जॉब तो है कि सबके लिए प्रार्थना करना. ये नहीं नहीं नहीं, आप करते क्या है करती है, ये काफ़ी नहीं है. नहीं नहीं, करते क्या है, तो बाहर से क्या करते हैं. सो देर इज नथिंग ईविल इन दिस, नथिंग विच वी नीड कंडेम और फ्रॉम विच वी नीड श्रिंक. इट इज गॉड्स प्ले. द वाइज मैन इज ही हु रिकॉग्नाइजेज दिस ट्रूथ एंड नोइंग हिज फ्रीडम येट प्लेज आउट गॉड्स प्ले वेटिंग फॉर हिज कमांड टू चेंज द मेथड्स ऑफ द गेम. एंड नाउ इट कम्स टू वॉट इज इंडियाज रोल. वाई वॉट इज श्योरबिंदोज नेशनलिज्म, वॉट इज श्योरबिंदोज आइडिया ऑफ freedom of India. And he says Sanatan Dharma is nationalism and nationalism is Sanatan Dharma. What is that? The command is now. God always keeps for himself a chosen country in which the higher knowledge is through all chances and dangers by the few or the many continually preserved. And for the present, in this Chatur Yuga at least, that country is India. और क्या चाहिए. आई नो सम फॉरेनर्स हु केम टू आश्रम एंड दे सेड व्हाई यू केम, ही वुड से मुक्ति तो इंडिया में ही मिलती है. पीपल वी डोंट रियलाइज व्हाट इंडिया गिव्स. दैट्स व्हाट ही रिमाइंडेड, ही वोक अस अप फ्रॉम अ स्लंबर, मेस्मराइजिंग हिप्नोटाइजिंग पावर ऑफ द वेस्ट. यू डोंट नो व्हाट यू हैव. That we see in his foundations of Indian culture, in his writings. We are like people carrying all the treasures and we had forgotten it. And then he reminds us what we really have. And that one word is enough. Like, you know, वो बोलते हैं ना, तुम्हारे पास क्या है? मेरे पास बंगला है, गाड़ी है, सब है. तुम्हारे पास क्या है? माँ है. तुम्हारे पास, तुमने तो अपनी बायोलॉजिकल मदर को भी छोड़ दिया. सॉरी, डिवाइन मदर तो दूर की बात है. हमारे पास माँ है, जगत जननी माँ है. हमारे पास संसार की वो शक्ति है जो अपनी श्वास से इस सृष्टि रूपी कल्प वृक्ष के पत्तों को, राष्ट्रों को ऐसे गिरा सकती है जैसे सूखे पत्ते. 20 साल 30 साल पहले किसी को इस बात पर विश्वास नहीं होता, अब विश्वास हो रहा है. हाँ, होता तो है ऐसे ही. दैट इज द पावर दैट इंडिया हैज अनलीस्ड, नॉट जस्ट फॉर देमसेल्फ बट फॉर द वर्ल्ड. एंड दिस इज अवर फोर्टे, दिस इज अवर यू नो कैपेसिटी, अल्टीमेट कैपेसिटी. सो इट सेज फॉर दिस चतुर्युग एट लीस्ट दैट कंट्री इज इंडिया, एट लीस्ट. Maybe next Chaturyuga also. Whenever he chooses to take the full pleasure of ignorance of the dualities of strife and wrath and tears and weakness and selfishness, he means God. The tamasic and rajasic pleasures of the play of the Kali, of the play of the Kali, in short, he dims the knowledge in India. See, we never knew. The real reason why the Mughals and Britishers were allowed to come. It was needed to go through this. So he dims the knowledge of India. in India and puts her down into weakness and degradation so that she may retire into herself and not interfere with the movement of his Leela. A premature interference creates a problem. So the bhoga of rajas and tamas was needed at some point of time. So India gradually, as he says in his Bangla writings, the fire that Sri Krishna had lit, he says Sri Krishna through the Mahabharata saved India. And his teja continued through countless kings. And it is only on the pyre of Lakshmi Bai that the last sparks turned into embers. Because all through, you see, India is the only country, frankly, which was never subjugated completely. Always there was something which fought, resisted. And yes, with the British. And look the Leela, since we are talking about it. It was said that the British Empire is the empire where the sun never sets. Isn't it? Yehi sunte the na, yehi kaha jata tha. And then what happens? In May 1908, 6th May, 5th May, when they put a rope around Sri Aurobindo, they didn't drag him, but he was taken to the court and the jail. Remember the story when, of course, Yashoda Ma playfully put it, but remember the story of Duryodhan? When Sri Krishna comes, he says, tie him down, tie him down. Of course, Sri Krishna, what does he say? Aha, Duryodhan, baad mujhe zanjeer badi kya laya hai? Tu mujhe bandhne aaya hai? Pehle tu aakash ko bandh le. Padtal mere paatal dekh, mastak mera dekh. Aur phir then he describes. And they tied. Because they had understood. You see, the asura first understands where the light is. That's why even Hitler wanted to come to India. He understand. They understood that Sri Aurobindo is the most dangerous man in India. Parliament mein ye baat hui hai, documented hai. And they knew. Of course, Sri Aurobindo had started. He is, if you look at it that way, after the Sipahi mutiny, it is very interesting how these events collate. Must have been done deliberately with much thought, which is so interesting, that the day the Operation Sindoor was launched, that was the day when the Sipahi mutiny had started. I'm sure there must be a thought behind it. But after the Sipahi mutiny of 1857 and the Rani Lakshmi Bai's ashes, then we see that for a long time, 1857, nearly for 40, 45 years, nobody is able to really talk of freedom that way. So when Sri Aurobindo comes to India, he started writing, and Mother India was waiting for him. That's how he describes that when he landed on the shores of India on 6th February 1893, Mother India welcomed him and a vast calm and peace descended upon him. He says it was the gift of Mother India, welcoming the child. Come, come. He didn't write welcoming the child, but come, I've been waiting for you. We hear these stories, no, in Puranas. If I have to put it like a Puranic scripture, Ahilya pratiksha mein thi ki kab Ram ke charan sparsh karenge, aur wo vapas ek apne devatva ko prapt karegi, hai na? To wahi Maa Bharati pratiksha mein thi ki kab Sri Arvind ke charan padenge. और फिर से मैं अपने देवत्व को प्राप्त करूंगी. एंड ऑलमोस्ट इमीडिएटली, बिकॉज पीपल हैव दिस आइडिया दैट ही जॉइन द फ्रीडम मूवमेंट मच लेटर. यस, बट द रिजॉल्व वॉज टेकन बिफोर कमिंग देयर, कमिंग हियर. बिकॉज ऑलरेडी एट 18, व्हेन हिज फादर यूज्ड टू सडनली, हिज फादर सडनली रियलाइज दैट वेल दीज पीपल आर नॉट एज गुड एज दे शो देमसेल्व्स टू बी, सो यूज टू सेंड हिम कटिंग्स ऑफ व्हाट्स हैपनिंग इन इंडिया, एंड श्योर बिन द वुड read them. Then he started a secret society. He didn't start, few of them together started a secret society while in London. And they called it by his very interesting name, Lotus and Dagger. And they had to take a vow that we will dedicate our lives to the motherland. Shubhendu was one of them who took the vow. He also had the experience of the self at the age of 18 while in England. And then when he came, he started writing. His writing, early writings are there. New lamps for the old. A new way of life in Hindu Prakash. And all the then Congress leaders, they got scared. Humko jail mein bhijwaoge kya? Be a little moderate. See, from there the division started between the moderates and the nationalists. No, don't write so fiery articles. You read some of them, it's amazing. So gradually then it dwindled and then he studies, understands what India is. And I often say, see the difference. Gandhiji, when he comes to India, he also wants to understand India. How does he understand? He undertakes a journey. He undertakes a journey across the length and breadth of India in second class compartment. I've never understood the logic of it. Because almost the whole compartment used to be booked by people who are his supporters. What do you really get to know? You should travel in incognito, I understand. So anyways, that's his job. He went around and looked at India outwardly. Shubhendu also undertook a journey. That is the time when he started writing Savitri, but he didn't use the word Savitri, that comes much later. He started writing the poem Earth and Beyond in Baroda. Because he had come and joined the Baroda State Service. And he started writing. Then he realized that India is not ready. So he goes into a detailed study of what India is. See, it's not just like that. He started writing the Veda, on the Vedas, Upanishads, Gita. There was a period of preparation. He plunged into the Upanishads, the Vedas, the Gita, what it contains. And then in 1902, the Alak starts again with the formation of Anushilan Samiti. And just for the sake of record, few people know that that's where the origin of RSS started. It was not called as RSS as far as I know, but that's where it went into self-defense committee. Anushilan Samiti was meant for that. Self-defense samitis, they were taught training, they were taught lathi. Training was given so that they can become equipped in self-defense, and one day if necessary there could be an uprising of the entire Indian mass. What a far-sighted thought that they should be ready. Shubhendu was neither for violence nor for non-violence. It's the position that Sri Krishna had. So these people were being trained. Shubhendu was the leader whom they would come. Some of them would call him chief. There are very interesting anecdotes that someone would come to meet him and he says, even then he was that poise of Shubhendu. So he comes down the stairs and he gives him a note. I think it was Nalinida. And he gives him a note asking something, and Shubhendu looks at it, pauses, and then he says yes, and then he goes back. That's how he would not sit for a long debate discussion. And then of course 1905, the same bogey of the British Empire, divide between Hindu and Muslims. There was a split of Bengal along communal lines. And then Shubhendu completely plunges into it, comes to Calcutta and starts the Bande Mataram, Karma Yogin, Yugantar, Dharma, four journals, out of which Yugantar unfortunately has been lost now. As far as I know, there is not a single copy or anything. The British had confiscated and taken it away. Dharma is Bengali writings, and Karma Yogin and Bande Mataram are English writings. And it's so beautiful. What shall I say? I mean, one can flow into it like anything. Those who want to understand India, and there are several essays which were about Indian culture. So he had looked at Indian culture from within outside, which is so important. And it's so important even to understand any culture. I've always used it as a, gold standard. If you want to understand a human being or a group of people, don't look at the outside. One can impress by little perfume and by a nice little dress outside and hook you. But be careful. See things from within outward. It will give us the true picture. So he goes and he He knew India now from within outwards, through the Vedas, the Upanishads, the civilization that had built itself around Sanatan Dharma, what this Dharma is, for which India is rising to give to the world. That was his idea of Swaraj, that India has to give good to the world and save the world. India must be saved to save the world, mother's words. And one of them is, India must be saved from Indians. That is also important. So we'll close with this little passage. So he says, when he wants to rise up from the mud, see, we had gone through those 700, 800 years, whatever it is of challenges, down, going down. He explains it. Why? Because that is part of the Leela. Things had to develop in certain ways, and so the divine puts India down. But then, now comes next. See, this is decreed that India will rise. It doesn't depend who will be the person. Persons will be created. They will come into the picture. And so he says, when he wants to rise up from the mud, he again God, and Narayana in man to become once again mighty and wise and blissful, then he once more pours out the knowledge on India and raises her up so that she may give the knowledge with its necessary consequences of might, wisdom and bliss to the whole world. India is rising and will rise not because of any one human being, because Narayana has so willed, divine has so willed. What a great assurance. It's destined. Because if India, by any means, as he says in one of his those Uttarpada speech, if Sanatan Dharma ever had to perish, then the world will perish with it. And one can look around. What are the other options? Communism of the Maoist kind? Western liberal wokeism? Islamic fundamentalism? What else? Bolshevism? Look around. Which is the one ideology? Ideology is a way of saying, or religion or thought, which can allow unity in diversity? None. These talk about unity or about diversity. Liberalism is about diversity. We allow everything. But where is the basis of unity? The human ego is ultimate, so obviously we'll fight, end up fighting. Communism and Islam, they talk about unity. Communism at the biological level, Islam at the some religious level, but brotherhood of Muslims. No diversity, no way. I keep telling people that it's not about India, Pakistan or this. It's about the life of the world. If you really care for it, call the spade a spade. Because this Sanatan Dharma has the secret of unity in diversity. That's why it's important. That's why it must be brought out to the world. And so he says, when there is the contracted movement of knowledge, the yogins in India withdraw from the world and practice yoga for their own liberation and delight, or for the liberation of a few disciples. So this is the contraction of knowledge. That's why often people say ki Himalaya mein jaake inhone itne saal tapasya kiya. To mujhe to ajeeb lagta hai ki phir kya fayda hai, inko to pata hi nahi hai jeevan ka challenge kya hai. Shadi ki nahi nahi, bal brahmachari hai to bilkul hi useless ho gaya. हमारी समस्या तो समझ ही नहीं पाएंगे, बिकॉज यू हैव नॉट फेस दैट चैलेंज. यही तो अवतार की लीला का आनंद होता है. द अवतार गोज थ्रू एवरीथिंग ह्यूमन. श्योरबिंदो मैरिड, मदर मैरिड एंड हैड ए चाइल्ड, मैरिड एंड डाइवोर्स्ड, सो शी नोज एवरीथिंग दैट ह्यूमन बीइंग्स गो थ्रू. सो देयरफॉर दे कैन बी द मोस्ट परफेक्ट गाइड, बिकॉज दे अंडरस्टैंड अस, व्हाट वी, what the pain we feel for a child, you know. Oh, Swami ji aaye, unhone kabhi shaadi nahi ki, wo Himalaya mein rehke 10 saal tapasya ki, aapko bhi mukti de denge. Theek hai bhai, thank you so much, I don't want it. It happened to me, ye Delhi mein, Subrata Park mein, CME mein I was posted. To kuch log wo spiritually inclined soch ke, अरे हमारे गुरुजी ये गुरुजी, एंड आई डोंट ट्राई टू गेट इनटू इट ऑल दिस. आई सेड ठीक है आई अंडरस्टैंड, आई रिस्पेक्ट एवरीवन, यू नो द यूजुअल स्टफ. नहीं 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 आप एक बार चल के देखो. मैंने कहा नहीं जाना है मुझे. मेरे जब वो बहुत इंसिस्ट करके तो मैंने कहा एक्चुअली पता है क्या, मेरे कुछ क्वेश्चन हैं नट. मैं साइकेट्रिस्ट हूँ, नट केसेस देखते देखते मेरा भी नट हो गया है तो नट केस हो गया. मेरे कुछ क्वेश्चन हैं, वो उसके क्वेश्चन आंसर नहीं दे पाएंगे आपके गुरु जी. तो उन्होंने कहा आप बोलो. तो मैंने बता दिया अपने स्टैंडर्ड क्वेश्चन जो थे, कार्मिक लॉ की इनएडिक्वेसी, मायावाद के सिद्धांत में जो कमी है, इंडिविजुअल मोक्ष के पीछे जो स्वार्थ है, इत्यादि इत्यादि. दुनिया क्यों बनाई अगर मोक्ष ही देना था तो? अच्छे भले थे हम भगवान के पास, पहले उठा के यहाँ फेंक दिया, फिर मोक्ष ले लो, ये क्या बात हुई? तो ई सेड नहीं नहीं, ये क्वेश्चन तो इनका उत्तर तो भगवान ही दे सकता है. तो फॉर्चुनेटली मेरे टेबल पर लाइव डिवाइन और सावित्री हमेशा ही रहती थी. मैंने कहा मिल गया मुझे उत्तर, अगर तुम्हारे भी ये प्रश्न है तो यू कैन टेक दिस बुक्स. ऐसे घुमा फिरा के देखी, फिर वो यूजल होता है, नहीं नहीं हमको तो भाई अंत में. सो आई सेड मिल गया उत्तर, भगवान नहीं दे दिए. तुमने खुद कहा ना भगवान ही दे सकते हैं, तो मुझे इनका उत्तर इनमें मिल गया, तो भगवान ने दे दिए मुझे उत्तर. तो फिर देखा इधर उधर, देन सो यू सी दिस कॉन्ट्रैक्टेड मूवमेंट वेयर पीपल विड्रॉ एंड प्रैक्टिस, बट लुक एट इट एंड विद दिस वी कैन क्लोज. बट व्हेन द मूवमेंट ऑफ नॉलेज अगेन एक्सपैंड्स एंड द सोल ऑफ इंडिया एक्सपैंड्स विद इट, दे कम फोर्थ वंस मोर एंड वर्क इन द वर्ल्ड एंड फॉर द वर्ल्ड. योगिन्स लाइक जनक, अजात शत्रु एंड कार्तवीर्य, ये नाम की अपनी हिस्ट्री है हर एक में. समटाइम पीपल हैव मिसअंडरस्टूड हिस्टोरिकली, फॉर इंस्टेंस कार्तवीर्य के बारे में, बट दो ही वॉज अ डिफिकल्ट किंग बट लेटर ऑन ही गॉट कन्वर्टेड एंड बिकेम अ वेरी गुड रूलर. सो दिस आई एम जस्ट सेइंग इन केस समबडी कंसल्ट द most inadequate source of knowledge, Wikipedia. So, yogins like Janak, Ajatashatru and Kartavirya once more sit on the thrones of the world and govern the nations. Oh, beautiful, powerful, refreshing, full of hope for all of us. Bande Mataram. We'll meet after the break. Jai Maa.